For the coaches. Now, welcome on to the call, the head coach at New Hampshire, Rick Santos. Good morning, Rick. Good
morning, Rob.
Good morning. A bye week, which you, when we talked last week, thought you felt like fell a good time for you guys. What did you do last week, and was it a productive week for your team?
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, we gave them Sunday off. It was a physical game against Towson. Sunday, Monday off, came back in, watched everything, and kind of got everything graded and corrected on Tuesday. They had a good lift. We went out in the afternoon, and that was a huge fundamental day for us. A lot of individual drills, back to some basic stuff, some drills that we really haven't hit since camp. So that was great. Wednesday, Thursday, you know, some pretty spirited practices. Went back to a lot of, you know, 1v1s, 2v2s, good on good, competitive situations, some different scenarios that we felt like after self-scouting as coaches for a few days that we needed to work on. So we're down in the red zone quite a bit, some two-minute situations, you know, some pass under pressure things on both ends. So for the offensive line to kind of work on picking those things up and to work on timing our blitzes. So did some good thing there. And then, you know, then they had a nice kind of day on Friday where they got their legs back with an extra lift and some yoga. And then we gave them Saturday off and then back yesterday and finally getting going on Albany a little bit.
We're at basically the midpoint of the season. I'm just kind of get a little state of where you feel like your team is. Certainly offensively, one of the top passing games in the country. You're averaging almost 39 points a game. What have you liked about the way your offense has performed to this point? And then, you know, what are some things that you'd like to see to be able to maybe do a little better?
Yeah, we're not far off, and that's the hard thing. You're 2-3, and at the end of the day, that's simply not good enough for, you know, five games in. But I also think, you know, we've made, you know, a lot of plays on both sides of the ball. If we continue to do that, I think those breaks are going to go our way, and we'll continue to fight. We're excited for the great opportunity this week. But, you know, on offense, I think up front they're doing a really good job keeping Max upright and protecting him. He's seen the field really well. You know, we're doing a really good job out wide of getting open, making contested catches. He's spreading the ball around. So certainly through the air, we're very dynamic. You know, our yards per rush is solid, probably middle part, you know, of the conference. You know, we haven't really leaned on that part of our game too much on offense, but I think we're certainly capable. I just think it's one of those things where kind of riding the hot hand, and Max is certainly seeing the field right now. So we want to continue to be dynamic through the air. Some things we got to work on, as I mentioned, you know, just kind of finishing in the red zone. And, you know, I thought coming back from a few weeks ago and then what we did last week, we certainly improved on that. So we've got to continue to score touchdowns in the red zone. You know, Albany's really good at defending it this week, so that's going to be a challenge for us. But that's certainly some things on offense that we got to do. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, we got to tackle a little bit better. Got to work on some communication stuff on the back end. You know, and then the guys up front, we got to find a way to be a little more productive with those guys and see if we can get some more sacks.
Question this morning from Mark Thinglace. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Hi, Rick.
How we doing, Mark?
Good, thank you. Last year, you had a lot of success running the ball against Albany with Dillon. This year, I think right now, Albany's ranked number one in the conference against the run and number two overall. What do you see in your defensive improvement, and how much of a challenge is it going to be trying to move the ball against them, do you think?
Well, I mean, their defensive line, you know, their front four is as stout as anybody at this level. You know, with Anton June Cage and AJ Simon, I think those guys have completely, you know, been dynamic, you know, obviously what they're doing in the pass game, but they're stout stopping the run as well, you know, really strong at the point of attack. And then the guy I think gets overshadowed a little bit is Elijah Hills. And I think, you know, from where he was last year to now, he's strong up front. So I think all four of the guys that they have starting, and even their backups do a really good job. You know, they mix it up, you know, they can stop the run just with, you know, with four guys there and not kind of adding anyone else in their scheme. So it's pretty impressive the way they do it. I think a lot of it too is their second level play. Dillon Kelly runs sideline to sideline. They don't miss many tackles. It's evident. So they tackle extremely well. They're physical at the point of attack. They're very well coached in terms of being sound and knowing exactly kind of what gaps that they have and everything like that. So it's a testament to Coach Catuso and their defensive staff and everything they're doing over there. I mean, they've been really stout for a long period of time on defense and certainly hasn't changed this year.
And Greg, a couple of times he's compared their freshman running back, Griffin Waddell, he said he reminds him a little bit of Dillon for you. Do you see any similarities there when you look at them?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, early in his career, he's doing some really good things. The moment hasn't been too big for him. You know, he's strong enough where he can run through contact, but you know, when he gets in the open space, he's got some really good top end speed as well. So I can see the comparison for sure. And yeah, and I mean, they've always had big offensive linemen, you know, 2, 3, 4, you know, massive tight ends that they do a great job kind of moving those guys around and the different personnel groups that they have. So, you know, I think, you know, they've done a great job controlling the clock on offense as well.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Rick, you talked last week about, and you touched on it in your comments, trying to get Josiah and Dillon, guys who, you know, were among the nation's leaders in sacks a year ago, to be able to get to the quarterback a little more. As you broke down and did that self-study, do you feel like it's what offenses are doing to try to slow them down, or is it some things on their end?
Yeah, I think the big thing overall when we were doing some defense self-scout is we got to be a little bit more efficient on first down. You know, first and second down, if we can get to some obvious passing situations, when we can kind of cut them free, let them do what they do, rush the passer, they're as dynamic as anybody. But when offenses get to third and five and less and the entire playbook is open, you know, that's when at times maybe they're trying to do a little bit too much opposed to just kind of trusting their, you know, playing their gap and all that stuff. So I think being efficient on first and second down is going to help those guys rush the passer. And that's certainly some things that we worked on this week, is just kind of cleaning up some of our base calls, base assignments, and hopefully we get more efficient there.
Obviously the defense faces a pretty big challenge. You talked about how good the Albany defense is, but Reese Poffenbarger, one of the better quarterbacks in the conference, can hurt you kind of arm and legs. What makes him so difficult to defend, and how have you seen him grow even more from year one to year two?
Yeah, I think just overall, they're very balanced on offense. I think they do a really good job mixing up kind of the run and the pass. He does a great job of understanding pre-snap access, meaning, you know, which side of the field is the corner going to be softest, and he'll take that right now in their RPO game. So obviously he's, you know, you could tell that he's well-studied. He prepares, you know, he understands what's going on from a defensive intent. But then also, you know, he'll get back there 5 or 6 times during the game when they're dropping back or play action or whatever. He has those unscripted plays where he runs around and makes people miss. He's extremely elusive. So, you know, he's calm back there when there's chaos around him. And then at the same, you know, and then he also has the ability when you feel like you got him in his grasp, you know, that he'll just kind of break up out of there. So we got to put a net around him. We got to tackle him extremely well. And then we got to do a great job on the back end of making sure that we mix up, you know, our looks there so he can't just pick us apart.
Got a follow-up question for Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm back, Rick. Sorry. One other thing I wanted to ask you. At 0-2 in conference, do you feel like you're in kind of a must-win mode right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge game. You know, whether we were undefeated right now or, you know, or we were 0-5, we'd say we need to win this game. But I certainly think there's a heightened sense of urgency right now. We got to find a way to get one. And then, as everyone knows, that can snowball, you know, rather quickly in the positive direction for us. So this is a very good team. They're top 25. They're really good in all three phases. You know, they're tough, they're disciplined, they play with an edge. It's evident when you turn on the tape. So, yeah, I mean, this is as close to a must-win as you're going to get. But for us, it's just finding a way to get a little bit better, clean up some stuff on our end, and hopefully that we took to the coaching in the bye week.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Rick, just one more for you before I let you go. As you reach the midpoint, who are some guys maybe that have surprised you and made a bigger impact on your team? Everybody knows Dillon and Max and those guys, but some guys that have made a little bit of an impact and surprised you maybe at the midpoint of the year.
Yeah, I would say on the offensive side of the ball, you know, there's a couple guys that come to mind. Colby Ramshaw is someone right there. You know, everyone kind of knew what Kyle Lepkowski had coming into the year. But we've played in some 12 personnel sets. We're trying to figure out who that next guy was going to be. You know, he's done a great job for us making some catches, but also kind of being strong enough, you know, to hold up at the point of attack in the run game. And then Mason Davis is someone as well, you know, our right tackle, who coming into the year, we felt like needed to step up. You know, with us losing some guys on the edge there. So he's done a really good job. Proud of those two guys on offense. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, we have a lot of veteran guys back, you know, that we expected. But I think, you know, Brandon Perkins on the deep, you know, at the second level playing linebacker has done a really good job in the rotation for us as well.
All right, Rick, thanks so much for your time here this morning, and I look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you.